The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to say that Eric Metaxas is a penny pincher, but truth be told,
he made me buy my own microphone.
And I'm not even broadcasting from a studio.
I'm sitting inside a refrigerator box in my garage.
Whoops, better hurry up. The wife is backing in the car. Here's Mr. Moneybags himself,
Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, suck it up, okay. Todd. Suck. Hey, listen, 1,000 people want your job, all right?
That's
you
right.
You want to complain?
Yeah.
Hey, Albin, it's hour two.
It is. It's great. It's Friday.
A lot of stuff to mention. Number one.
Yes.
Number one.
One.
I made the Babylon Bee.
I know.
I almost forgot. I just thought of it. Folks, if you don't know about the Babylon Bee, it is a super genius, brilliant comedy site, the Babylon Bee. And yesterday, I was at the airport. I looked online, Google Alerts, bing. And they have me writing the biography of Bob the Tomato. It is brilliantly funny.
Funny, funny.
Check out the Babylon Bee. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two.
Yes.
I met Sheriff David Clark.
Two.
I don't have time to talk about that. Number three.
Three.
I met Evander Holyfield.
Yes.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Four.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders knocked him out cold.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like an uppercut he never saw coming. It was sick.
Aww.
He went down
Aww.
Like a little girl.
Aww.
He was crying. There's a photo of that on Twitter and on Facebook, but actually a lot of people, if you don't get my weekly email,
oh, yeah.
you're missing. There's a lot of photos and things I don't get to talk
about.
A
lot of fun.
So go to ericmetaxas.com, not to be confused with metaxastalk.com, ericmetaxas.com, sign up,
mm-hmm.
because there is stuff that we never get to talk about. Okay, I got to say a couple of things. When I went to the airport a couple days ago to go to Washington, D.C., something happened. I said, I've got to mention this because this was incredible. I never have time at the airport. But I had a couple of seconds. I was with Suzanne. I said, you know what, Suzanne, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm going to get my shoes shined because I never have time to get my shoes shined. I actually had 10 minutes. So I go, and it's a couple of like Rastafarian guys. People, if you go to LaGuardia a lot, you know, there's these different places, whatever. So I go, and I'm getting my shoes shined. And something about the guy shining my shoes, like we get into conversation, and I know like he's some kind of a Christian. But I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian. He says, I'm not a Christ follower. And he gets into this whole thing about if the Holy Spirit lives inside me, he's with me. I'm not following. Like, it was funny stuff.
Okay.
But his theology was brilliant. Like, I mean, I'm not actually exaggerating. It was, like, amazing,
wow.
The conversation. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards. So, like, he's shining my shoes, and I'm, like, having this amazing conversation with this guy. And the bottom line is, when it was over— like, he said something about his life. It was like, see, he's going through a hard time or whatever. And I was just, like, lit up. And I just said, listen, before I get out of here, let me pray for you. And I stood there, and I prayed for this guy. And the other shoeshine guy came over and lifted his hands. Like, this is another hardcore Christian. So
wow.
When he prayed, it wasn't like, what are you guys doing? And we had this, like, little Holy Ghost tabernacle of prayer at the shoeshine stand at LaGuardia. And I thought, you know, I've gotten way bolder in the last few years
yeah.
about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just like amazing.
Oh, it sounds
I was
wonderful,
praying with
really.
These guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, well, anyway, but I also want to tell you about the grumpy stewardess story?
Oh, sure.
Now, by the way,
yeah.
in this hour, we have the author Scott Husing of Echo in Ramadi. That's
mm-hmm.
coming up in a couple of minutes, just in case people want to know. But I have to tell you about the grumpy stewardess story. Actually, before I do that, I have to mention that we are still offering our website, metaxasforhillsdale.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what amazes me is that the students who go to Hillsdale, I'm – how do I put this? Everywhere I go and every time I watch TV, I'm reminded of the fact that people don't really understand how our government is supposed to work. Like, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of – and I think, didn't these people get civics? Like, don't they understand about the Constitution or whatever? And you realize – I mean, this is the thesis of my book, If You Can Keep It. We have not been teaching this for 40 or something years. Now we're paying the piper because mm-hmm. there's a breakdown in civil yeah. discourse and understanding. We don't even have a common language of what America is and what does it mean to be an American. Like, we're very divided. But anyway, this is why I recommend go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, because Hillsdale is really dedicated to the principles of the Constitution. In fact, I don't want to forget, you can get a free online course if you go there. Constitution 101. It's an actual course. They're high school graduates. The graduates of Hillsdale, they all know this stuff. Like, Hillsdale's amazing. And by the way, they don't take any money from the government, which
That's
is
right.
insane.
I know.
You believe how cool that is? So anyway, so they have a policy of not accepting any tax dollars. So they're, you know, free to say exactly what they believe is true. And you can get imprimis from them. A lot of cool stuff. I just want to mention that. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Okay, but before we go to the break, I've got to tell you about the grumpy stewardess.
Okay.
Okay. As you know, I'm a jokester. And sometimes I joke too much. Sometimes joking goes wrong.
Oh, no.
Because Eric doesn't know how to stop joking.
Oh,
yeah,
Eric,
sometimes you realize,
stop,
like,
Eric.
You joked with somebody who's having a bad day or something like that, and they didn't get the joke. Okay, so I'm sitting in – I wanted to get on an early flight. I was in Nashville yesterday, as you know, and I wanted to get on an early flight. So I jump on an early flight. So I'm seated back in – what was it? I don't know what seat it was, but it was an exit row seat near the back of the plane, and I'm sitting next to some guy, and the stewardess comes over, and she says, "Now, do you gentlemen, you understand, you have to blah blah blah." And she gives us the speech, right?
Right.
And she was kind of like a grumpy New York based stewardess. And my stupid joke that I have done a number of times when I sit in the exit row is, when they ask, "Do you understand?" I say, "Sí."
Okay.
Right.
That's a hysterical joke, but
so I say, okay. "Sí, comprendo." Like that, right? Now,
right.
Usually they laugh, ha ha, right?
Right, right.
But this woman, like, her eyes bug out, and she's like, no, she says, "You cannot sit here. You cannot." And I say, "Por qué? No tengo problema en que." Right? So I say a couple more phrases.
Right.
And she totally does not get the joke. And then I said, "Ha, I got you. I was joking," right?
Yeah.
She still doesn't believe me.
Oh, no.
She says, "Now, I cannot have this." She says, "If you don't understand English, you cannot sit here, blah, blah, blah." I said, no. I said, I was joking. And she says, "You're sure you understand what I'm saying now?" Like, she went on and on and on.
Right.
And I thought, when jokes backfire.
That's
but
right.
That happens to me a lot in my lifetime, because I'm oh, always okay. joking around with people.
Yes.
But so the next time you're sitting in an exit row seat, you might want to try it, because usually it works. When they say, "Do you understand?" They should say, "See."
Yeah. Okay.
It gets a
By
huge
the way,
laugh.
One of my favorite jokesters in town this weekend, my twin brother Anthony, he's in town with his lovely
wife,
Diane.
Wait a minute.
Diane.
Now, let me get
yes.
this straight. How many twin brothers
I've
do you
got
have?
One.
This weekend, your
this
twin
weekend.
Brother's
he's
coming
in
into
town?
Town?
Yeah, he's going on to Connecticut with some
now,
kind of conference.
Now, he's an identical twin.
He's an identical
You guys, Albin,
twin. Yes.
You know, I've never seen him, and I'm not going to get to meet him, right?
No, you will not. Sorry.
Well, I know you guys look exactly alike because
mm-hmm.
you've told me,
mm-hmm.
but didn't you look so much alike that didn't you fool yourself once that you thought you were him?
I did. Once I guess I was in the same house with him, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I thought my twin brother had come in behind me. I'm not kidding. It was me in the mirror, and I go like, "Hey, Anthony,
oh,
boy,
it's just me.
Is my face red?"
That is, yeah. Now that's not
weird.
A joke. People think
that's
we're joking
because
we joke
no.
so much. That sounds like a joke we'd make up, but you.
That's how identical
you're
we
not
are.
Kidding.
We are, yeah. Now, I thought it was him. That's
now,
so
if you don't mind my
odd.
Asking, how long ago, like what, how age, what's the age you were roughly? In the 20s, 30s, teens?
When that happened?
Yeah.
No, probably a year ago. I'm not kidding. It was not that long. I get old. You get older. And, I'm not kidding. I'm getting older and older, and those kind of things are going to
so
happen.
So a year ago,
yeah.
you thought you were your own twin brother?
That's right. I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
Let's go on to Open Doors and get an update, shall we?
Well, the latest update we got is that we've raised $23,000, which unfortunately means we're still far short of our goal of $30,000.
People have to come and have dinner with you. $10,000. They can
somebody,
come and have dinner.
If
a whole
somebody
family
gives...
Yes.
$10,000 to Open Doors. I know there are folks who can do it. And by the way, it's incumbent on us to say thank you to those of you who have given.
Mm-hmm.
I go down the list of names, and I want to say I know some of the people, some of them I don't. If you gave $5, some people gave $5, some people gave $1,000. I want to say, folks, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. www.freedomfighters.com. Click on the banner. We really need your help because this thing is going to end. We're behind. The update I have right now is $23,000. We need to get to 30. So if somebody can do 10, there are people out there who can do it. Yes. And by the way, this is a great cause. Okay, when we come back, Echo in Ramadi. This is all about Iraq, the Iraq War. This is a soldier's account. It's kind of an amazing story. We'll be right back.
I see the one in your blue eyes. Baby, I love you and want me the way that I want you.
Folks, I need your help. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa are under attack. Earlier this year, Boko Haram once again kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. This group's presence has spread beyond Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad, Benin, other countries. In the northern part of Nigeria, militant Fulani herdsmen are continuing to use any violent means necessary to take possession of everything in their path. In other parts of Africa, Christians are being targeted by fundamentalist and extremist groups. Even in countries such as Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, some Christians must worship in secret and they live in constant fear of being imprisoned or worse for their beliefs. So through the Ministry of Open Doors, you can provide life-saving aid and critical support such as clothing, food, medical aid, vital training, Bibles, and Christian resources to these African believers. To find out more of all the ways you can help, please go to my website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Open Doors right at the top. Folks, they have a challenge grant of $50,000. There's no better time. I'm just asking you, please go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and click on Open Doors. Thank you.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
Bring home the number one inspirational movie of the year, I Can Only Imagine, now on DVD. With 3 hours of extras, including a behind-the-scenes look at Mercy Me and more. The story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, and so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Available now on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital. Rated PG.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
If you're looking for a way to become politically involved but you don't have the time, you can easily make conservative change happen every time you use your cell phone. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative cell phone company in the nation that fights for your values. They partner with conservative organizations to contribute a portion of each member's bills to the causes that they believe in. Patriot Mobile can be your cell phone provider today. They can help you support vital conservative organizations and provide reliable nationwide coverage on unlimited plans starting at just $20 a month. This month, you can save big and get the iPhone 6S or a brand new Samsung J7 for only $6 a month. Make the switch at 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Be a patriot. Switch and make conservative change today by using your cell phone. PatriotMobile.com, your new cellular resource for patriotism.
Hey,
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, we've really got a story for you. It is not it's not fiction. This is nonfiction. We're talking this hour to a Marine who led 250 men through Iraq's deadliest city for 9 months. Some of you know the story. Marines from Echo Company fought every day in the dangerous, dense city streets of Ramadi, Iraq, during Operation Iraqi Freedom. The story of that has been put into a book, new book called Echo in Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. I have on the line Major Scott Husing. Major Husing, welcome to this program.
Eric, thanks for having me. It's great to be on your show.
This is, it's hard to believe that anybody went through what you describe in the book. It's also hard to believe that somebody who goes through this could write about it, because this didn't happen so long ago. This is not ancient history. This is just a few years ago. What made you decide you want to write about this?
Well, I think I get asked that question a lot, and I always say, why was it important for me to tell this story, not just write a book? Because it's not just another war story. It's really about the people and the leadership at every level. And as you know, that power of human connection that is so important. And it was very important for us to fight and win and survive on the deadly streets of Ramadi, Iraq. And, you know, we were in Ramadi itself just for about, you know, 3 or 4 months. Our whole deployment was 9 months. And, you know, we shifted from one city to another during the height of the insurgency, during the surge strategy in 06, when President George W. Bush ordered the surge and General David Petraeus, they flooded the battle space with, you know, additional tens of thousands of troops to really hammer down on the city. And to be able to tell this story, I think another question, and you know, as a esteemed author that you are, you often say, well, how long did it take you to write the book? And I always say, well, 11 years.
Yeah.
In reality, you know, you lock yourself in a room for like an hour and you hammer away. But it really took 11 years for the Marines and the families and the soldiers and my interpreters from Iraq to be ready to share that story. I think the timing was right. They, you know, had processed and had healed a little bit on their own personal levels. And I was really honored to do, you know, over 75 interviews. And when I captured all of that emotion and pain at times, and also some of the laughter and excitement of it all, you know, we're just really happy with how it turned out. And I've had so much great support for the project, and the book's, you know, been doing so great through shows like yours that highlight great military stories so they don't become marginalized.
Well, I was going to say, we need to know, you know, one of the things about our generation is we kind of farm out our wars to professionals. You know, not everybody, I was not drafted. People are not drafted. And so you tend maybe not to hear these stories because it didn't happen to your brother or your uncle. And I think it's important that we know what our men in uniform are going through. And that's what you do in this book. Now, for people who are just tuning in, explain, basically, this was the surge. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, the surge strategy in 2006.
Okay. So when did you enter the U.S. Marines?
So I joined the Marine Corps. I enlisted I just turned 19 before I shipped off to boot camp, and served in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, after a not-so-stellar high school career in Waukegan, Illinois. And then after my first enlistment, I decided the value of a college education and was accepted to Illinois State University. And, you know, I don't say that to throw that in your face, because I know you went to Yale, but Illinois State only lets us select 50. Yeah, Eric, they only let us select 50 or 60,000 in every year. So, you know, I don't want to rub that in.
Well, I'm shocked. I'm shocked you know where I go to college, number one. Number two, I am not a fan of Yale University. If you know me well, you know that I badmouth that school every chance I get. It's sad, actually, what's happened to Yale. But that's another story. Okay, so then you decide to go back.
Yeah, so I graduate college in 3 years, which I attribute to the discipline I learned as a young Marine. And really felt the desire to continue to serve and to lead, and became an officer. I got my commission, and some 15 years later, after attending all the right schools and holding the right levels of command, I was a company commander in the streets of Ramadi. And that fight in 2006 really redefined what I knew about fighting and what modern urban combat was. And that battle itself really started in 2004. And there's often a lot of discussion about the first battle of Ramadi or the second battle, but it was really a 2-year fight, Eric, where my battalion 2-4, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines went in the city in 2004 and fought heavily. And then there's these highs and lows, like this sine wave of fighting where it goes from really bad to not so bad, really bad to not so bad. And in 06, Ramadi itself, which was a city, this flat, sprawling mass of 300,000 people with the Euphrates River cutting east to west, that had been decimated and blown to, these concrete chunks that looked like Swiss cheese from all of the gunfire and explosions. That's the city we fought in day in and day out. And it had been boiling over, literally like a pot on a stove where it was spilling into the burners and no one could turn the gas off. And the intensity and the frequency in which we fought was 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day in direct contact with well-trained insurgent forces. And the way these young men and women fought, aged 18, 19 years old, was nothing short of heroic and extraordinary.
So you're talking about the people on our side.
Absolutely.
When you say the insurgents, just to remind us now, this is 12 years ago, and the Middle East is so complicated. So who was it that you were fighting?
So there was, in a city of, 300,000 people, about 90% of the local Iraqis were good, peace-loving people. And to say that that type of, Islamic extremist from an insurgency that wants to promote their hateful caliphate that is representative of that culture is wrong. The majority of the people wanted stability, they wanted security, and they wanted our help. And that's what the Marines and soldiers did, was help people that couldn't help themselves. So you had about 5% of hardcore fighters. These are homeborn Iraqis that wanted to take over the country after Saddam's regime fell. And then you had about another 5% that were recruited in from other areas in the Middle East that wanted to make a name for themselves and join the team. And when they stepped up to fight, it was a bad day for the insurgents because they always lost. And when the surge was ordered, the entire country, especially in Al-Anbar province, it had become like this giant game of whack-a-mole. It's the best way I can describe it, where the insurgents pop up in one city like Najaf or Fallujah or Baghdad or Ramadi, and we would hammer them down into fine powder, and then they'd seep out and they'd pop back up. So when we ordered the surge, we were essentially hammering down on every hole in that country, and it was extremely effective to turn the tide of the war.
And that was the point of it. In other words, at some point, I think it was John McCain who was talking about whack-a-mole, and that if you don't do this, because I remember the political battle for the surge. Everybody wants to pull out, and Bush is trying to convince the country, no, we need to do this. And of course, was proved right because you guys prevailed, but it was not without some tremendous losses. I cannot imagine what it would be like to lead men into battle and to see them die. I know you write about that in the book. Tell us about that, because we forget the real price that we pay.
Well, you talked a little bit about, the administration and that, we weren't fighting politics or policies or strategy there. We were fighting the enemy. I make no bones about it. Our mission was to kill or capture anti-Iraqi forces, those that wanted to kill Americans and at times kill local Iraqis that got in their way. And, that's what we did day in and day out. And to experience that type of what I describe as friction, this, indescribable pressure that's constantly around you when you're dealing in what was literally the deadliest city on the planet at the time, we lost more service members in the city of Ramadi, upwards of 20 to 25% of all the casualties came out of Ramadi in Iraq. So, you know, when you lose Marines and you lose soldiers, you know, you can train your men as hard as you want, and you hope to protect them, but ultimately, you know that you can't, and you hope that the training and the leadership at every level is going to get them through it.
We're going to go to a hard break. Folks, we're going to be right back. The book is Echo in Ramadi. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Do you have a retirement account worth more than $100,000? Pay very close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Gold is a better way. Gold, it's better. Better way to protect your retirement, a better way to grow your retirement, and better than everything you're currently doing inside your retirement account. My name is Adam Baratta. I'm the founder of GoldIsABetterWay.com, and I'm so certain gold is going higher in price and going to outperform stocks and bonds, I've created the world's first gold retirement protection platform ever built. If you have an IRA or 401k, I want to give you free access. Once you see this, you'll have no choice but to agree, and all you need to do is call for your special code. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. On a recorded line, you'll get a special code. You can join the site for free. No salespeople, no rigmarole. Just call 800-900-8000. Get your code. Get it now. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. GoldIsABetterWay.com.
Hi, it's you here for ReaganPrivacy.com. Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That's a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan. You can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send. And they won't scan your emails. They will leave you alone. Get an email address that you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Go get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com. That's ReaganPrivacy.com.
Center of attention in this barroom, 'cause I've got the biggest heartache of the year, and each night those swinging doors reach out for me and draw me in. I'll say no.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking with the author of a new book. It's called Echo in Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. I'm talking with Scott Husing. He's on the line right now from, is it San Diego?
I live in Southern California, but I'm calling from Golden, Colorado, and I'm literally sitting at the U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial that was established in 1977 by our then Commandant and Medal of Honor recipient, General Lewis H. Wilson. As I'm out on the road doing some book signings at Tattered Cover in the greater Denver area.
Tattered Cover, that's a famous bookstore. Where are you again?
I'm in Golden, Colorado, so just on the, I think it's on the west side of Denver, and I'm at the U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial.
Wow.
And, Tattered Cover was great. We were right there last Friday. And, you know, it was such a special event because the people that showed up at this historic bookstore that's been there for 100 years, some of my Marines who I fought with in Ramadi showed up. The veterans of the community showed up. And then a really special attendee, the sister of one of the Marines I lost, Lance Corporal Andrew Matus, who lives in the Denver area, she showed up. And it, I tell you, Eric, it was a little dusty in there and emotional when she showed up. And there were a lot of hugs and tears, but just a really great event. So I'm very grateful to Denver, Colorado Springs area for hosting me out here.
Well, you write in the book about, post-traumatic stress that you struggled with this? I mean, after you go through this hell, you know, not knowing if you're going to live or die day in and day out, seeing your men killed, it's going to take a toll. Human beings are not we're not built by God to deal with this. So what happened to you when you got home?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's a great question, because humans create war. We do this. And when you experience those pieces of trauma at such a young age, and this is something I learned probably after writing the book, was I was a 35-year-old captain at the time when I was ordering these young men to kill. And that's what I did. I had to order them to kill. And that was because I wanted them to do it unhesitatingly when they had to make that singular life-changing decision to take another human life. And I wanted them to leave the battlefield with a clean heart. And that wasn't an original idea, Eric. That's, you know, that's what came from my years of mentorship and great leaders around me. But it was important to me that they heard it and they understood it, so they never hesitated. So to go through this experience and see the worst that humanity has to offer, we compartmentalize these pieces of trauma, and like jam, we put them in a jar and squeeze the lid on tight, and we put them away in the on a shelf, and we close the door of that pantry, and we don't want to deal with them because we have to go on and fight and win and survive under those circumstances for the mission and to protect our fellow soldiers and Marines. But you know, in everyone's life, inevitably that ground kind of shakes. And if a jar falls off the shelf, it's going to break, and you have to deal with that mess. And how each person deals with that is very different. And I write and share my story as well, because after doing all the interviews and pulling so much, you know, pain and emotion from everyone else, I did share a lot of myself. And that's, as you know, that's not an easy thing to do when you throw it out there for the world. But you know, for me, dealing with, you know, the decisions I had to make and the things I had to see, I think really staying connected with the Marines and staying connected with our families and our amazing Gold Star families, those who lost sons and daughters. Mm. I mean, that's really how I've processed those things I dealt with and continue to heal and stay connected. And helping veterans is one way to do it. And sharing this story is absolutely one way, because I think you hit on earlier, is making sure they don't get marginalized is very important. And it's one way to help veterans. And that's why a portion of the proceeds of my book go to help veterans with post-traumatic stress at SaveTheBrave.org, where I'm the executive director, a foundation started by one of my Marines.
Okay. And so yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying you learn about the battle, and you learn about this power of human connection, but you're also helping veterans indirectly by, you know, just getting a copy of the book. I mean, a lot of people always say, how do I help? How do I do this? And I say, well, say thank you for your service, especially this month, Eric, because it is National Military Appreciation Month. And, you know, but you can read this story and you'll be helping vets.
Well, I just think that when you understand, when you hear these stories, it just gives you a picture of what it means to be an American, that in order to be an American, to have what we have here, a price is paid. These prices have been paid over the centuries, over the decades. It's not an easy thing. Lives are ended. Lives are destroyed in some cases, and lives are at least disrupted. Seriously. So there's a lot of sacrifice. And I think it's important for we who call ourselves Americans to understand the price that's paid. And if it weren't for books like yours, you know, it's harder for us to understand what you guys go through. We're going to be back. We're talking to Major Scott Husing. The book is Echo in Ramadi. Echo in Ramadi. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
I will always feel the same. Love you forever and forever. Love you with all my heart.
Hey, Al Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Albin, are you skeptical when somebody says something can help
Sometimes,
you?
Sometimes, yeah,
well,
sure.
Well, me too. Relief Factor.
Yes.
As you know, we advertise Relief Factor on this program. I was initially skeptical. I thought, they want me to advertise something. I don't know. Does it work? So I started to take it, right?
Okay.
And my acne cleared up. No, that's not true. But the fact is that I have had pain because I run, okay? And even though I was skeptical, I tried it. And you have to try it for 2 to 3 weeks in case – sometimes it works right away. But there are four different chemicals or chemicals, whatever they are, active ingredients. And sometimes they take longer. But for me, it worked, and it's why I take it. If you have any aches and pains, folks, I challenge you to try it. It's $19.95. It's very little. And I think I can go out on a limb and say it probably will work. If you have any kind of aches, but it doesn't have to be like searing, horrible pain. But if you have some kind of, you know, arthritic stuff, I would try it. You go to relieffactor.com, $19.95 for the quick start pack, relieffactor.com.
Folks, I need your help. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa are under attack. Earlier this year, Boko Haram once again kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. This group's presence has spread beyond Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad, Benin, other countries. In the northern part of Nigeria, militant Fulani herdsmen are continuing to use any violent means necessary to take possession of everything in their path. In other parts of Africa, Christians are being targeted by fundamentalist and extremist groups. Even in countries such as Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, some Christians must worship in secret and they live in constant fear of being imprisoned or worse for their beliefs. So through the Ministry of Open Doors, you can provide life-saving aid and critical support such as clothing, food, medical aid, vital training, Bibles, and Christian resources to these African believers. To find out more of all the ways you can help, please go to my website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Open Doors right at the top. Folks, they have a challenge grant of $50,000. There's no better time. I'm just asking you, please go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and click on Open Doors. Thank you.
Happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is a 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking with the author, Major Scott Husing, author of Echo in Ramadi, which talks about the surge 2006. Major Husing, let me ask you a question because this is it's got to be tough. How do you deal with killing without allowing your own heart to become hardened? In other words, that you have to do this, but you know that they're human beings on the other end of this. They're the enemy. you have to kill them. But how do you deal with that? Or do some people not deal with that?
Well, you know, Eric, unless you're some sociopath, no one takes enjoyment out of taking another human life. But in war, killing is what happens. And it's nothing you can, you know, really prepare for. I mean, we train for weeks and months and sometimes years on end as professional warriors to be thrust into that chasm of war. And we hope that we're ready to cope with that. Most do, and there's some that struggle with it. But, you know, you have to be willing to do that. And I think that you talked earlier about sacrifice and recognizing those that sacrifice. And the percentage is so small of Americans that actually raise their hand and volunteer to serve, right. You know, less than 0.5% of the entire American population. And when these young men and women have to make those split-second life and death decisions to take another human life, it is absolutely life-changing. And I think that in the end, you have to just realize that, hey, it's your survival and your brothers and sisters that you have to protect. And you press through with the mission. And, you know, it's a grim facet of war. And, you know, the things we had to see, not only the enemy that we killed, but having to see the wake of destruction that the insurgency left behind. And when I talk about this wake, I'm talking about, again, when we started the show, this caliphate of the insurgency and their hateful ideology. It was not urban legend, Eric, about how brutal they were to their own people. The murder, the intimidation, the kidnappings, dismemberment. It was not urban legend. These are things that we witnessed firsthand, and it was a horrible aspect of any war, especially in this highly kinetic firefights and explosions in an urban war where you're so compressed and compacted, and every turn around every street and every corner and every house you entered was its own tiny little battle space. And that's the type of environment that these young men and women had to deal with.
Do you feel that Iraqis are able to govern themselves? I've written a lot about this, that the idea of self-government on the American model is a fragile, difficult thing. So the idea that, you know, you remove Saddam Hussein, you kill some insurgents, and you're like, go for it. You know, what is your sense? Because so many Americans were lost, so much money was spent. What is your sense of where we are now?
Well, I recently started writing a little bit more political stuff and some op-eds. And, you know, back in 06, 07, we didn't need a crystal ball like a band of gypsies to look into it and say, you know what, if we don't establish some sort of physical presence here, we're going to be back in 10 years. And just look at the history books. May of 2015, where did ISIS set up camp? Ramadi. Because the government wasn't ready. There's still very minimal infrastructure working over there. But we're still fighting in Iraq. We're still fighting in Afghanistan.
I mean, isn't that because the previous president, President Obama, did not do the right thing? In other words, my sense is that he felt politically we need to get out of there, but he wasn't thinking through what that's going to mean down the line.
Well, I think you could spread the blame off of multiple administrations, Eric, to be quite honest, because they have to set the conditions politically to establish, first, security. And that means leaving a military presence in the region and finding a spot on the map to do that. And I think we were poor students of our history looking at the European theater after World War One, or Korea, or the Pacific Theater in World War II, and establishing that. And you know, we're Americans. We want everything fast. We want fast food. Yep. We want fast cash at the ATM. We want fast democracy. So, it's, you know, sometimes it takes 20, 30, 40 years to see that change like we have in Europe.
Of course.
We haven't planted that proverbial flag to show the Iraqi people or that culture what right looks like. And I'm not saying let's make them Americans. Well, I'm saying let's show them what right looks like so they can establish their own form of democracy.
Well,
not American democracy.
You're absolutely right. No. Look, there's only one kind of democracy. I can say it. since it's my show, and I don't care what people think, there is only one kind of democracy. There's only one kind of true self-government. It's what the founders gave us 240 years ago. And I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything that improves on it. And just to keep it as we've kept it not so well in the last 40 years is incredibly difficult. And this is the model. And so when Bush and company, you know, talked us into this war, there were people saying when you, you know, who was it? Colin Powell, who said, you know, when you break it, you own it. Right. And and when you let Saddam Hussein, this strong man, you take him out, you can ask the question, who's going to have the will to enforce the laws, to bring in democracy? Are these people ready for democracy? It's kind of like letting muscles atrophy for 40 years and then saying, OK, go walk. You're not going to be able to walk because you haven't used those muscles of self-government. You don't even know what that is. And so it is very tricky. And in retrospect, it's easy for us now to see that the Bush administration failed us in many, many ways. I don't think they failed us utterly. I'm so grateful for what they did. But, you know, as we're talking about here, this is tough stuff. We're going to have a few minutes left. I'm talking to U.S. Marine Corps Infantry Major Scott Husing. His book is Echo in Ramadi. We will be right back with the Eric Metaxas Show.
Send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
From Affirm Films comes Paul, Apostle of Christ, now on DVD and Blu-ray.
There are men, women, children that will never meet you. There must be a handwritten account of your acts.
Their faith challenged an empire.
Do you really know about these Christians?
I am concerned with these documents.
Their words change the world.
Love is the only way.
Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel. Available now on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Ask your doctor to send your prescription to GoGoMeds.com. Once you fill in your information, it's in the system and your prescription is delivered. It's just that easy. Go to GoGoMeds.com and use the promo code MIKE2018 and save $10 on your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, and the promo code MIKE2018 gets you $10 off your first prescription.
Is it worth $20 to get you out of pain? Hi, Mike Gallagher. Oh, yes. For over 3 years, I've been telling you about Relief Factor and how my lower back pain left me in trouble. My pain was making my life miserable. Then my buddy Hugh Hewitt asked me why I wasn't trying Relief Factor. It got him out of pain, and glory, it did the same for me. $19.95 for a 3-week quick start. ReliefFactor.com. What are you waiting for? ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
Is your computer slowing down?
Yep, I guess I need a new one.
Wait before you waste your money on a new computer. Go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that could be putting your privacy at risk. Unwanted pop-ups, errors, or spam not only slow your computer down, they may allow third parties to track your activities. Go to MyCleanPC.com for a free computer diagnostic. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least 100 grand.
I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town.
Hey, folks, that's Johnny Cash. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the author of a new book called Echo in Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. Speaking with Major Scott Husing. Major Scott Husing, right now, even though you're not in San Diego, typically you live with your wife and daughter in San Diego, and you now currently serve as the executive director of Save the Brave, a nonprofit organization committed to supporting veterans struggling with post-traumatic stress. How long have you been doing that? Because that is an important, important job to be doing right now.
I've been doing it since 2015, and one of my young Marines who that fought under my command, Nick Velez, and a Vietnam vet, Ernie Delgado, they founded it. And Nick reached out to me and says, "Hey, sir, would you be willing to come on board and give us some guidance and leadership?" And since then, we've grown not only through sponsors and donors, but we've helped hundreds of vets because we really feel that that's what we're good at, connecting vets through outreach programs, because there's no real medicine or pill or magic vaccine that's any better than helping guys deal and share some of the things they've been through in a safe environment than just getting them together. I mean, you don't have to, have a PhD to figure it out. And we know what we're good at, and we're very fortunate to have a network of supporters that when we do have a veteran in one of our programs that needs extra help, there's so many people that volunteer their time and services. It's just something that really makes me happy at the beginning and the end of every day to just stay connected and help veterans.
Well, it is huge. I know part of the profits of your book you mentioned, Echo and Ramadi, go to helping. I guess it's toward this foundation. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So go to, and the foundation is Save the Brave. What's the website for Save the Brave?
SaveTheBrave.org, O-R-G.
What could be simpler? SaveTheBrave.org, O-R-G. So folks can buy Echo in Ramadi, or they can just go to SaveTheBrave.org and leave a donation. This is important work. And as I said, I think that you're telling this story. It is important for us as Americans to understand the price that we pay to live the way that we do, and how most of the world does not have the incredible privilege of the safety and wealth and prosperity and freedom and opportunity that we have in this country. So I just want to, first of all, thank you, Major Scott Husing, for your service. And I want to thank you for this book and the work you do.
Well, thank you, and thanks to all your listeners. Great being on the program with you today. And I have to say, Eric Metaxas, most eclectic prospect of music, intros and outros, from Elton John to Johnny Cash. I love it.
I can't believe you know anything about this show. God bless you, young man. Keep up the great work.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.